This morning, we have the third of the major stories from the Gospel of John that the church uses when it has adults preparing for the sacrament of baptism. These are three stories that speak to us about the journey to come to faith in Christ Jesus. The journey to believe in him and to give our lives to him. It's the woman at the well, which we heard 2 weeks ago. Then the man born blind, which had been at the 5 o'clock mass last week. And then today, the story of Lazarus. Once again in these stories, the details are exceedingly important. John doesn't waste a lot of words. But what he puts into his gospel has great significance. The word Lazarus, it means in its original language, God helps. God helps. In Bethany, the house of the afflicted. In some sense, this story is not just about this man Lazarus. It's a story about each and every one of us. Because each and every one of us wants the help of God. We want God's presence in our lives. We want God to help us in our times of struggles and difficulty. And truly, each and every one of us lives in Bethany. We are all living in the house of the afflicted. We all have afflictions in our life. We all have needs in our life. And we want the help of God. One of the interesting little points in the story is that it says, when Jesus received the message that Lazarus was ill, he waited 2 days before leaving to go see him. Don't we sometimes identify with that? We call upon the help of God, and the help doesn't come when we think we need it. And it's like, God, what are you waiting for? Why can't you just answer me now? And we wonder, why did Jesus wait? Why didn't he go? If he loved Lazarus and Martha and Mary so much, why didn't he do something? And we get the answer a little later. It says that God's glory will be revealed through Lazarus. And we may have that temptation to say, Lord, I don't care about your glory. I just need help right now. And yet, the glory of God is really manifest in the life of people. When we are alive. St. Irenaeus, in those early years of Christianity, in the first century, said, the glory of God is man fully alive. When we are alive, not just physical life, but alive in the Lord, then the glory of God is made manifest. And so when God doesn't answer us, we have to trust that somehow he's trying to bring us to life. Not just physical life, but the fullness of life. Life that will never end. Another detail that's very important. Notice how he says, Lazarus is asleep. Well, like the early apostles, we too would take that to mean, oh, okay, he's resting. But for Jesus, it has a little different meaning. He is dead, and yet death in the eyes of God, in the perspective of God, is not final. Death is transition. We die to be transitioned to another life. And so Jesus isn't thinking of death in that sense. But death in a sense that transitional time. That passing from here to there. From what we know now to what we shall know for all eternity. And yet when he arrives in Bethany, the gospel tries to make very clear the finality of death. You know, that huge stone covering the entrance of the tomb. Then Martha's wonderful statement, there'll be a stench. Trying to say to us that in human terms, death is, it's over. When somebody dies, you don't bring them back. Especially when they've been dead 4 days and they begin to decompose. It's over. And yet, Jesus waits for that to happen because he wants to manifest the glory of God. And he wants to speak to us about something very important, that our physical death is not the end, but it is transition. And God has power even over our corrupting, decaying bodies. Martha, it is clear, doesn't really understand really who Jesus is. You know, she says, I know that God will give you whatever you ask for. Like, okay, Jesus is a holy man and he'll have to go talk to God and see if God will give it to him. But she misses the point that he is God. And so, Jesus responds, I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, even if he dies, will live. And he who lives and believes in me will never die. Notice that. I am the resurrection and the life. I am God. I am the one who can give life that will never end. What does it say to us? Well, we know we will die. We know that life here is a very temporary thing, and that one day these bodies of ours will crumble into dust. We know that. But Jesus is saying something more. If we believe in him, then we will be raised up. And that, yes, this physical life that we know here on this earth will end, but another life will come to us. And it will last forever. We will transition into that life. Like Jesus transitioned from death on the cross to the glory of his risen body. We won't do that immediately after death. But we believe someday that our bodies will somehow be reconstituted, remade. And our glorified bodies will be in the presence of God for all eternity. Finally, Jesus speaks the creative word. Lazarus, come out. And the story tells us that Lazarus came out, bound hand and foot. And Jesus said, let him go free. What he wants for each and every one of us. To let us go free. To let us go free of all that binds us, of the sin that holds us back. To give us life that will never end. Now I'd like to go to St. Paul. St. Paul speaks about how we must cling to Christ. He says, if the Spirit of Christ dwells in us, then we have life. And if the Spirit of Christ does not dwell within us, then we do not have life. Kind of re-emphasizing that whole point that Jesus is making, that we must believe in him. Not just in our heads, but believe in him with our lives. We must cling to him. One of the words that I heard another preacher use was, we must be grafted onto him. We must become so closely connected to him that his life becomes our life. St. Paul says that in his letter to the Galatians. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. That is the calling of each of us, to be so closely one with him that we get life through him. Because the life we have our own doesn't last. The life that we get from him lasts forever. And that's the life he wants to give us. That's the life that begins in us in baptism. That's why we have these candidates here this morning. That's why we hear this passage every time we have candidates for baptism, to remind them that they must cling to Christ, that it's not enough to go through just your ritual, but it has to be a way of life, changing of life, And each of us must do the same. If we are baptized and don't cling to Christ, He has no power over us, and death will be our end. If we believe in Him, if we cling to Him, if He lives in us and His Spirit lives in us and we live in Him, then we will have a life that will never end. That's the message that the readings today want to bring to us. We must allow Him to live in us. We must live in Him. His life must become our life. Calls us to a deep and profound communion, union with Christ Jesus. I'd like to go now to the first reading, very briefly. That first reading from Ezekiel, O my people, I will open your graves and have you rise from them. That is what Jesus wants to do. Not the graves of this earth, not the graves that are built out of stone, but the graves of our sin. He wants to open that grave. He wants us to rise from that grave. And if we live in union with Him, we can rise with Him to life that will never end. Like Lazarus, may we come out. And like Jesus, may we live forever.